This morning in Phoenix, a group of government and border security officials is holding a discussion about the opioid epidemic and the flow of illegal opioids that cross the Arizona border with Mexico. They're talking about the challenges the state faces in tracking and seizing these substances, especially the deadly synthetic opioid known as fentanyl. We'll hear more about that discussion later on the show.
Now, fentanyl is 30 to 50 times more potent than heroin, and recently law enforcement agencies have said it's showing up across our state. It's a substance that's very valuable to drug traffickers, who can transform just a kilogram of fentanyl powder into hundreds of thousands of pills and then sell those pills for millions of dollars, according to the Drug Enforcement Administration. So how is it getting here? For the answer, we asked Doug Coleman, special agent in charge with the DEA's Phoenix Field Division. He came to the studio to talk more about this lethal drug and what's being done to stop it.
So fentanyl is a synthetic analog, and it is an incredibly powerful opioid, probably, depending on how powerful it is, 50 to 100 times stronger than heroin. So you're talking about a drug that is so powerful that the amount that you could put on the tip of your finger is potentially lethal to a human being. 2 milligrams of this drug would be lethal to a human being that doesn't have an opioid tolerance built up. 2 milligrams is a tiny, tiny amount. Like that, when it's given out legally, it's given out in such small quantities that it's compared to like grains of sand. Wow. On what a person can take.
How much is put in a single dose of this usually?
So 2 milligrams or higher is usually potentially deadly to a human. So it depends, and that's one of the big problems that we have with fentanyl is when it's illicit on the street, you have absolutely no idea how much is in a pill.
Yeah.
Or how much you're taking. Sometimes we see these pills, and they're small pills, and they have 1.8 milligrams in the pill. That's some of the higher stuff that we've seen. So if somebody takes 2 of those pills, that's the end of them.
Do they know? Do people realize what's in these and that they might be getting fentanyl?
So a lot of times the fentanyl is mixed in with other drugs. We'll see it mixed in with heroin. We'll see it mixed in with cocaine. We see it mixed in with different drugs. So sometimes they don't know that they're actually getting fentanyl. Some of the hardcore opiate addicts do realize what they're getting, and they do want that particular drug. And I think that's a major problem, and that's why we see so many overdose deaths.
Okay, so let's talk about the path that this drug follows. So where is it made? Where does it get put into pill form? And how does it end up kind of in the mail and getting to people here in the U.S.?
So a couple of ways that we get the fentanyl. Fentanyl is a legitimate prescription drug in the United States. It's legitimately used to treat very, very bad pain that people have, usually late-term cancer patients or major, major surgeries. Mm-hmm. So fentanyl is a legitimate drug. We see some small amounts of diversion from the legitimate industry. So sometimes people will steal it from pharmacies or they'll steal it from a doctor's office, things like that. Mm-hmm. But the primary sources that we're seeing right now are from China. China manufactures the drug. China's outlawed it. But the reality is that there are dark web and there are clandestine manufacturers that still manufacture it. Mm-hmm. And what we see also is we see it coming in from Mexico. You can order the precursors, the chemicals that you need to manufacture the drug itself. You can order those from Chinese and Indian websites and manufacturing companies. So the Mexicans have begun to order those things, and then they can manufacture it in Mexico. So 2 different sources, mainly China for small quantities through the mail, mm-hmm. and then the precursors and the larger quantities are coming in from Mexico.
Are these being run by drug cartels?
So the Chinese piece of it is generally tied to legitimate companies and legitimate manufacturing places like that. So they're not so much a drug cartel, but when it gets to Mexico, then all that is controlled by predominantly the Sinaloa cartel. They're the predominant manufacturers of that drug.
Okay. So how is the Arizona border now becoming a central point in this? Is it always coming across the border?
So when you think about Mexican drug trafficking, you always think that you always have to realize that the southern border, predominantly the Arizona and California borders, are where the vast majority of the drugs that come into the United States come through. Mm-hmm. So fentanyl is going to be, as the Mexican cartels begin to manufacture more fentanyl and get more of it into their illicit trade, obviously a lot of it's going to come across that border, just like with coke, just like with heroin, just like with methamphetamine, because the border here is how they get most of the drugs in. Mm-hmm. Sinaloa cartel is the biggest and the baddest drug trafficking organization in the world, and they control the vast majority of the drugs that are in the United States. So since they sit right across the border from us, Arizona, the Arizona border is the key focal point. Everything comes to us first, and then it's distributed throughout the country.
And you look at it from a much broader sort of almost supply and demand point of view, right? Like, how is the need for these drugs in the U.S. being met by this?
You have to understand that drug trafficking is a multinational, huge business operation. they're not like unlike any other business in the world in that they will only manufacture what they can sell.
Right.
So as we have more and more people addicted to prescription drugs, specifically the opioids, and as more and more people switch over to heroin and switch over to the fentanyls, we've seen the Mexican drug cartels increase these production. Our heroin seizures are up a couple thousand percent, I think, over the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Our fentanyl seizures are up many thousand percent. So everything that's going to happen in the rest of the country on the drug trafficking happens in Arizona first, and then we can see what's going to happen. So as long as the American public is demanding these drugs, the Mexican cartels will produce those because they can make a huge profit. Think about this when it comes to profit margin. Mm-hmm. If you can manufacture a kilo of fentanyl, usually that will cost you between $30,000 and $50,000. If you sell that all the way down to the user level, you can make $1.5 million off that $30,000 investment.
Wow.
So that's a huge profit margin. And as long as we keep wanting it, they're going to keep making it because they can make big money off of it.
It does seem like this drug is a little different than in the past, though, like even than meth or heroin, in the sense that it's so potent. Like, is there any sense from the drug cartel point of view that this is more dangerous and is maybe killing off those users that they want to sell to?
I think that the reality is that they always build in the fact that they're going to lose some drugs and some customers when they're doing this model. And this is a different problem than what we said. I've started this in this business during the crack epidemic in the late 80s, mm-hmm. and that was a big problem. But as far as deaths go, I don't think we've ever seen anything like what's going on here right now. And here's something to think about. So Arizona has roughly between 800 and 1,000 opioid overdose deaths per year. Only 16% of the overdoses that first responders respond to or the people that bring into the hospital, only 16% of those actually result in death.
Mm-hmm.
So 84% of the time when there's an overdose, that person will survive the overdose mm-hmm. and go back to buying again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the cartels, when you're talking about making a $1.5 million on a $30,000 investment, I think you can eat that, the fact that you may lose a few customers along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. So on the other side of this, what is the Chinese government working with you? Are the Mexican officials, like you said, sort of being instrumental in trying to stem the flow of this?
So we've worked very closely with the Chinese government. And over the past couple of years, they have assisted us in outlawing some of these products and some of these precursor chemicals that were used to manufacture fentanyl. So we've had some decent luck with that. But it's all relatively fresh, so there's still a significant number of underground manufacturers that are doing these things and still sending them over. And we have a lot of issues with the dark web and anonymizers on the website for us to try to track those guys down. So mm-hmm. they are working with us. They do know the problem. The Mexican authorities also, they do work with us. Working in Mexico is difficult at times. But there are some corruption issues down there, but we work closely with some vetted units that we have at DEA. So they do work with us on a lot of these things, and they have been very helpful in some of these instances. But again, you're talking about what's now becoming a very, very big problem, and they're going to continue to ramp up their production of these drugs as long as we keep demanding them.
Yeah. So I wonder, just on a broader level, how do you sort of keep up with the changing demands and drugs being supplied in this trade? Like, now they're finding ways around security, just delivering it through the mail. The dark web is another thing, like you mentioned. And now with fentanyl, it being such a lethal drug, is there any way to stem the flow?
The reality is that every time a drug tracking organization has developed a new way to do those, to move these products, they move them because we've stopped the one way that they were doing it before.
Right.
We've had great successes. They can move a little bit faster than we can because as they move through and they can make those changes, they don't have to worry about the laws or the Constitution like we do as we're making our move. So they're always a step or two ahead of us. We do catch them, and then we force them to change again. The entire system, the entire game, it really is cops and robbers. They're the bad guys, and we're chasing the bad guys. For us, the fact that we take off thousands of pounds of these drugs all the time, the fact that we arrest thousands of these drug criminals, that's the reward for us. We realize that we can't save everybody out there that's going to overdose, but all the drugs that we take off, all the cases that we make, all the bad guys that we put in jail, those are saving lives. So while we're always maybe one step behind in the technology part, we're always chasing them, and we'll never give up, and we'll never relent on it. But it's a constant game. The system is constantly changing. They adapt to us, we adapt to them. They adapt to us, we adapt to them. But it's not unlike any other type of law enforcement. That's the way it works.
Yeah. All right. Douglas Coleman is the DEA Special Agent in Charge at the Phoenix Field Division of the Drug Enforcement Administration. Douglas, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.